Parents aren't perfect, never have been, never will be. Agree or disagree? Agree? Parents aren't perfect, never have been, never will be. Now, all of us have our stories, right? You've got your stories about your family, and some of them are okay to tell in public, and some of them are not, right? My wife, Carol, and I had four children, Scott and Katie, Jonathan and Jenny. And when Jonathan was about 10, we had a dinner for some missionaries that were visiting from out of town, and they had inquired if they could come and spend some time at our house because they wanted to observe our close and loving family and ask us a few questions. So Carol fixed this delightful meal. They came, and we're in the middle of this dinner, enjoying it very much, engaging them in questions and answers, and I'm sure they were taking in the observations that they wanted to get. And then somewhere in the middle of the meal, my son Jonathan, something got under his skin, and he got irritated about something, and the result of that was that he was disrespectful to his mother. Well, disrespect led to discipline, and so I told him that he could exit the room and go to his room. And with that, the chair scoots back, and it's screeching, and he is stomping, and he is pouting, and he goes to his room. And then we're all still sitting there. A little bit of the zip has gone out of the questions. But we continue on, and after dinner, we go downstairs and sit in the den. And the den is right next to Jonathan's room, and so on my way, I just go by his room, and within earshot of everyone, I knock on the door. And when I knock on the door, I say, "Jay." And his response to that was, "Dad, get out of here. I don't want to talk to you." Well, that came like the microphone sound that you just heard right back into the ears of the missionaries that were sitting there with my wife. And so when I come back in, now we've moved from taking a little zip off to feeling pretty awkward about the whole situation. We continue on the conversation, doing the best we can to recover this. And in a few minutes, I don't know how you are as a parent, but do you ever have these conversations where you're carrying on the conversation outside verbally, but on the back of your mind, you've got this internal conversation going on within yourself? And so that was what was going on with me. And after a little bit, I thought, I need to check on that boy again. So I went around to his room there, knocked on the door. This time, no yelling, nothing. I knocked again. "Jay," nothing. So I thought, well, I don't know what's happened inside there, but I better go check it. So I come back through the room where the missionaries and my wife are sitting. And as I come by, I'm feeling everyone's embarrassment because they kind of heard what was going on. I come around, I go outside, and I look in the boy's window. When I get there, the window is up. I peer inside. There's no one there. So I come back inside, I get my wife, I get the missionary couple, and we go down the street in our car searching for this boy who's now run away from home. We have gone from losing the zip in the conversation, feeling a little awkward, to embarrassed. Now the missionary couple is sitting there totally silent. We get back home. In a little while, after we did find the boy, by the way, we found him. And after we found him and we got back home, there was this polite conversation for just a few moments. The missionary couple left, and we have never seen them since, as you might imagine. Parents aren't perfect. They never have been. They never will be. Not only are parents not perfect, let's smile as we say this, kids aren't perfect either. Do I hear a yes to that? And families aren't perfect either, for that matter. And so we begin to look at our kids, our own parenting, and our families as a whole. We begin to realize, boy, it's really not a perfect situation, and nobody has that perfect situation. As much as we might like to look at other people and think they do, or sometimes even the way we like to look at ourselves and think we might have it all together. Let me just tell you my story. Carol and I were married for 28 years. I met her in graduate school, and we fell immediately in love, and 9 months later, we were married. And we were friends, lovers, heart companions for 28 years. We had 4 children, Scott, Katie, Jonathan, and Jenny. But on August the 2nd, 1998, all that came to a screeching halt when Carol died. And when she died, our world crumbled apart. Our family changed forever. The pain was unbearable. For 28 years, we lived as a normal family. It was a wonderful existence. We had our ups, we had our downs, we had our problems, we had the missionary stories, and lots of them. But basically, it was a good family situation. And then Carol died. On August the 3rd, I woke up to find myself the single father of an 11-year-old. And I'll tell you, that was the hardest thing I've ever done in my entire life, being the father, single father of an 11-year-old. I had no idea all those thousands of things that Carol did to make our lives easier every day. And it was all I could do with my grief and the pain and this child and other things that were weighing on me to get from the time I would wake up in the morning until I got in bed at night, and determined after a period of time that being a single parent and raising children as a single parent, it is a struggle every day. It is a very difficult proposition. That's why the body of Christ is so important for single parents, for us to rally around them and to help them become, have the resources that they need to become the kind of parents that they can be and to put that support under them. So, single dad of an 11-year-old child for those months, year and a half, and it was the hardest time of my life. And then we blended families. In an amazing story, my longtime friend Dave Busby, who was the oldest living cystic fibrosis patient in America, died in 1997 in December. I had prayed for Dave every day for 8 years. I was supposed to be at his funeral and actually speak at his funeral, but because my wife Carol was sick, I couldn't go. Dave was my very close friend. December the 19th, 1997, he died. And as the Lord would have it, in an amazing turn of events, in an unusual love story, God put his widow, LaWanna, and me together, and we married. Many people never have the opportunity to love once. I've had the unusual opportunity to love twice. In some pretty amazing ways, God has blessed me in that. I had 4 children, and then she had 1, so we blended our families. And so when we did all the blending and we put all that together, then we had 5 children. And 4 of those children are married. That equals 9. And then we have 6 grandchildren. So that equals whatever that equals. And I would say with all those relationships, one of the things that I can tell you for sure, somebody has said that blending families is complex. I would go beyond that and say blending families is complexly complex. So here we are. That's my story. You have a story too. I'm not here tonight as an expert to tell you everything you need to be doing as a parent. And many of the mistakes that you've made, I've made too. And I'm not here to stand here and tell you that I've done a perfect job of parenting. In fact, most of these imperfections are my imperfections. So if you're here tonight and you've lived in a normal family, or you're here tonight and you're a single parent, or you're here tonight and you're a blended family, I want you to know that I'm not an expert, but I sure do. From my heart, I identify with you. And I want to say to you that in the midst of our imperfections, God still has a purpose. It's pretty interesting when we look at our imperfections, we think about those. As a result of our imperfections, It's pretty easy for us as parents to fall into some black holes. Whether we're a normal family, a single family, or a blended family, it's easy for us to fall into some black holes. Let me identify four of those for you. Here's the first one. It's what I would call the done-its. Done-its. Some parents feel like they have done everything that they possibly could, and their kids, it's still not working out for them. Some people are the have-not-done-its. These are the people that the parents who feel like they have invested significantly in their children, but at the same time, they look back and they say, you know, there was so much more I could have done if I just done this, if I just had not made this mistake, if I had only not done this. And they look at themselves and they say, I wonder if it's too late. I sure hope it's not too late. The have not done it. There's a third black hole that we tend to fall into as imperfect parents, and that is the undone-its. The undone-its are those people who compare themselves to others. And as parents, we look at somebody else, and we look at the way they're parenting, and we look at this family, and we look at how their children are doing, we look at this couple, and we see how they're doing, and then we compare ourselves to those people, and we feel like we're inadequate, we're not measuring up, things are just not the way they ought to be for us because things are not perfect. And then there's the fourth black hole that we fall into, and that's the half-done-its. That takes us back to our single parents. And for some of us, even in this room, who have spouses who are not going the same direction we're going. And so as a result of two polar opposite directions in life, purposes in life, we feel like that we're sort of half a family trying to make this thing work, and it's not really working out that well, and we feel pretty imperfect about it. So when we've got these four black holes that we can fall into as parents, and all of us tend to fall into these either one or the other many times over the course of our parenting lifetime, we pretty much live with lots of imperfection, don't we? And then what happens is the result of our imperfection is that we start feeling really guilty about it. And then either we try harder by going in the wrong direction, or we give up, or we just kind of abdicate the throne to mom or somebody else and let the kids kind of run on their own. We feel guilty about what we have done, what we haven't done, what was undone, what's half done. And somehow all that just takes the joy, just sucks the joy right out of being a parent. You ever notice that? So here's what I'd like to do with this first session. I'd like for us to simply say, parents aren't perfect. Never have been, never will be. Say that with me. Parents aren't perfect. Never have been, never will be. We can agree with that. Let's lay that aside and say, you know, it's time to move beyond our guilt and lay the guilt that comes from the mistakes that we've made and the imperfections that we have, to lay that aside and begin to move forward and beyond that, to begin to pursue God's purpose for our kids in spite of our imperfections. And so how do we do that? Well, first thing we have to do is we have to ask ourselves this question. What are we shooting for? If we're parents and we're wondering, even in the midst of our imperfections, what is it we're trying to get to, maybe identifying what it is that we're trying to get to will help us to understand even how some of these perfections fit into the long-term purpose. Here's what we're shooting for. We're shooting for it, igniting a fire in our children that will kindle a passion for Christ in them, that will come from inside of them, and that will internally motivate them to be all that God's designed for them to be. We want to ignite a fire in them. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19 says this, do not put out the Holy Spirit's fire. Do not put out the Holy Spirit's fire. God has placed a fire inside of each of our children. They were made in the image of God. Many of them have made the choice to say, I want to follow Christ. I want to be a Christ follower. And so the Spirit of Christ is living inside of them. And that Spirit is there, and God is wooing them and pulling them, and He has a plan and a purpose. And oftentimes in our imperfections, our mistakes, our lack of paying attention or whatever, we lose sight of what it is that we're really shooting for. And what God really desires is that He would be able to take that fire that's in our children, that spark that's there, and begin to see the gasoline poured on it so that it fires up into this flame. And God has given us as parents the privilege and the responsibility to be able to ignite that fire in our children, to motivate them from the inside so that they can be all that God has designed them to be. The last project that Carol and I worked on as a couple before she died was a book project. We decided that we wanted to write a book about our family. We thought. So we'd been thinking about this for a while, and then we went to a bookstore. Spent the whole morning there one morning. I remember this. We pulled out all the books on parenting, pulled them out, and we had them. We were sitting in the middle of this bookstore, and these books were strewn all around us. About 150 books on parenting. And we looked at each other, and we said, why would we write a book on parenting? Surely everything that could be said about parenting has been said in these books. But on closer examination, as we begin to look a little bit deeper into the situation, we begin to see that a lot of the books, especially the ones about teenagers, they were written about how to survive your kids' teenage years, not how to thrive during your kids' teenage years. And we thought it was important to be able to thrive during those years. And then we also, as we looked further into these books, the thing we discovered was that there really wasn't, most of these were about external issues. There weren't many books at all that had to do with internal motivation and dealing with our kids' hearts and what really inside makes them tick. And so we decided to write the book. We started in October. We outlined the book. We got it outlined in by the end of November when Carol got sick. We had all the chapters, and we had outline for each chapter. We had all the illustrations. And then after she got sick, we continued to work on it even after that. And got pretty much the whole book done except for two chapters. They were Carol's chapters. We did not have, when she got so sick, we just had to put the project away and shut the book and leave it alone. About 6 weeks after she died, I pulled that book back out. And I pulled out those two chapters that needed to be written that were really her chapters. I got her old seminar notes and other notes that she had for teaching on these subjects. And I wrote those two chapters as if she was alive. And I say that in the book. And the end result of all that was that we wrote this book called Ignite the Fire, Kindling a Passion for Christ in Your Kids. It's really not a book with a lot of footnotes. It's really a book about our family. All of our imperfections, but also the things that we felt God gave to us for our children to ignite that passion for Christ inside of them. To really motivate them from the inside out so that they could have that desire, that passion, that flame for God that would motivate their lives for the rest of their lives. Kind of the key verse that drove us along was Proverbs 4:23. It says, guard your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. And the incredible thing that God has done with us, and the amazing thing that He wants to do with you, is that He's given us this incredible privilege and opportunity to ignite this fire in our kids' hearts, to help them to discover and find out what it means to guard their hearts. And in the meantime, to make us protectors over their hearts, to help, as parents, to help design, guide, develop their hearts to be all that God wants them to be. And I believe that when we begin to take seriously this passage in Proverbs 4:23, and we look at ourselves as parents saying, you know, I really desire to guard my kids' hearts. And I really want, more than that, I want to help them to learn how to guard their own hearts. So that instead of putting out the Holy Spirit's fire, there's this passion. There's this desire inside of them. A fire is ignited. And as parents, we have the privilege and opportunity to kindle that passion for Christ in our kids. Let's just stop right here and ask God to give us that removal of our guilt from our imperfections and a forward look that says, what are we shooting for? We're shooting for our kids' hearts, and that God would guard their hearts. We'd help them to know how to guard their hearts, and that He would ignite this fire inside of them. Let's just pray that prayer together, can't we? Let's just bow our heads, close our eyes, and just say this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, out loud together, Lord Jesus, I do feel guilty for all the mistakes I've made. Thank you that at the cross you forgave those. I lay them aside and I walk away from those mistakes, all those imperfections, and I turn my face toward you and I ask you, would you help me to ignite the fire of Christ in my children so that they're passionate about you? In Jesus' name, amen.